Welcome listeners to another episode of the Indian Cycling Podcast brought to you by the Bike Affair. This is your co-host Gokul. Today my partner in crime Harsha is not there. He's busy with some work and is unable to join us. In this episode, we will discuss about our successful Everesting attempt on the 1st and 2nd of October. Since I was part of it, it will become a little tricky to have me talk about it directly. So we have our friend of the podcast, Krishna Poonam, who is going to don the role of a host today and ask us questions. Thank you, Krishna, for helping us out during Harsha's absence.
Thank you, Gokul. Interesting to have the roles reversed. Now I get to ask all kinds of stupid questions. But we also have Pasha and Chitti along with us here, who were part of this attempt. Pasha was the crew captain and Chitti also had finished the Everesting along. Welcome, Pasha and Chitti. And to start off with, first, congratulations on this amazing effort. I think you're the first few in the country to finish such an effort.
Yeah.
At least, I mean, the 10K at least is definitely the first one from India.
Yes.
And then I know Everesting, you probably are like second or third in that list, or somewhere close.
Yeah, somewhere close to that. And for the record, while I was checking the Everesting Hall of Fame website, before us there were 16 successful attempts. This included running as well as cycling, because Everesting includes both,
right?
And half and full and virtual and real. So we were the 17th and 18th entrants in the list, and I was the first person to finish 10K. Incidentally, there was another person who finished 2 days after we did, who completed a 10K. The first Indian, I was the first Indian. There was another Indian who finished it on the 4th of October. He also completed 10K.
Nice. So, Pasha and Chitti, can you say hello to the listeners?
Hello, listeners.
Hey guys. Thank you so much, Krishna, Gokul, and it's good to have Chitti on the podcast. I'm really excited for the podcast today.
You know, since I trained with you, we speak about a lot of things. And until you actually mentioned that you were attempting Everesting, we never talked anything about it.
Yeah.
I don't remember us speaking about anything crazy like this.
Yeah.
And I know normally you don't do anything long distance. I mean, what I remember is 200 kilometers was the limit. What happened that you wanted to attack such a big challenge?
Yeah, necessity is the mother of creation. So, so as you know, I was training for the Tudi Bintan road race in March. And to be honest, I was very lucky because the race was on the day the lockdown started in the country. So we were all scheduled to go there. Of course, the race was also cancelled, but I could have been just a week away from being stranded in Indonesia for 3 months. So I was very lucky there. I was at the peak because I had trained for the previous 5 to 6 months for that. So while I was continuing to train because with the use of the trainer at home during the lockdown and stuff, it was still a little tough to train without any goal. And there was no way to put any goal because all events were just getting cancelled and there was a lot more uncertainty at that point in time. While I was at that time where we were reading so many things and stuff, and I had come across Everesting, to be honest, not only to you, I was scared to talk about Everesting to myself also. So, it was crazy, and I knew I have done some easily some 1,000, 2,000 meter climbs on a day and all. I have climbed Nainital. I climbed Nainital multiple times in February when I had accompanied Prajwal for the MTB Nationals. So, since that was just before the 2D Bintan, I had taken my road bike, and whenever he didn't have his training or race, I was climbing Nainital. So, in fact, that week, I think I had climbed around 6,000, 7,000 meters in about 4 or 5 days. So, I knew about that, but somehow still climbing 9,000 meters on a single day continuously looked very improbable and too audacious. And I just found it to be a little even arrogant to think that you can do it. So that was the state of my mind, and I had pondered over it for a long time. And but I didn't know whether I was really surprised or I was really at a loss of words to even think whether I can do it. So slowly I opened up to my family because they didn't have a clue. They didn't have any objections. So then the first other person I spoke to was Pasha, because I wanted to do it. If I'm doing something so big, I wanted to do it as for a bigger cause. I felt that it was also, I was telling Maxwell sir as well, that it was slightly also selfish, because in one side, I knew that I needed powers and support beyond my own to achieve something so big. And I felt that there was a little bit of, I have always felt that more confident of doing something when it is done for someone else. So I thought that it will take off a little bit of pressure off me. But later on, I realized it actually put more pressure.
A cause motivates you, I guess.
Yeah, cause definitely motivated me, and that was really inspiring me. So that is why I didn't speak to you, because I found it difficult to speak to myself about it.
Okay, and Chitty, what helped you decide to jump into this? I know Gokul has been training, but I don't remember seeing you training.
Yeah, so actually when Gokul told me this about this Everesting and all, I have not heard anywhere. I mean, but I heard only from the Gokul, though when he said about the doing the climbing repeatedly, 200 times, I thought it's a good challenge. So as soon as Gokul told me he's going to support the Maxwell's Academy, why don't I join and ride? I mean, I want to also be a part of it.
Okay, and any specific motivation that you created for yourself, like Gokul, or is it just, the challenge that motivates you?
Just the challenge. I mean, Gokul did. I mean, he was training from last around a year. Then I know, when we used to have the whole store, now we became half of the store. So even those days, he was training half the day, on the trainer, and he trained hard and smart. So I did not train. I mean, I didn't have that much time, though my responsibilities are different. So, but when Gokul announced me, I did not train, but I have a little bit confidence on me, so that it is just not about the speed, but not about the cadence, but just we have to be riding continuously 200 repeats. But so I thought I can do it. Then I told Gokul.
Nice.
Yeah.
Great attempt, though. I mean, with the practice you had, you still can't believe, the achievement that you've done. Pasha, what was your initial reaction when you spoke to Gokul, and how did your conversation with Dr. Maxwell go about this?
Yeah. So before I talk about the initial thoughts, I am actually still in that hangover. I am still trying to come out of it. But yes, I mean, incredible job, both of them, especially Chitty. I mean, with the minimal training he had, the mental strength he has, I mean, I am still in that hangover. How could these guys pull out this kind of feet, that is number one. And coming back to your question, my initial thought when Gokul called me, I remember it was around 3-ish in the evening. I just had my lunch and was getting ready for my training. And then all of a sudden Gokul calls me up and announces that, I would like to do this. And the and there is also a cause behind it. I would like to support the Maxwell Trevor Academy. And the first reaction was, wow. And the second reaction was, what is Everesting? And I said, Gokul, whatever it is, wherever you need me, I am there. You count me in as the first supporter for this. And then Gokul, I could see his change in the tone. He was much more confident and happy, actually, by the end of the conversation on the call. And I felt really great that doing something like that for almost, like, as he said, he wanted to do it around 20 to 22 hours. And then I was like, how is it even possible? And so after the call got ended, I immediately jumped onto my system and I checked what is Everesting, and I got some information, took some initial glimpses of in the website, and then I realized that this is a next level thing. I mean, how did Google come up something like this? And those were my initial thoughts. And subsequently, the very evening after my training, I called up Maxwell sir and I told him that Gokul called me and he wants to do such a thing. And he was also at a pause for a few seconds. I mean, how is he going to pull this out? And I said, Gokul is a very good climber and he loves climbing, number one. So I think we were 100% confident that he'll do it. Maxwell sir also told me upfront that, you know, yes, Gokul can do it. He's strong and he's training. And when I told him that he would like to raise funds for our academy kids, Maxwell said, immediately said that, you know, let's support him, whatever he needs. Let's jump in and help him out during his event. So those were the initial thoughts when Gokul announced to me.
Yeah, I think when you say this, Pasha, I am really grateful to you guys. And in some ways, I think I also, there was a unknown reason why I chose the order in which I spoke, because I know, I knew my family would not object because they didn't know much and I underplayed it, obviously. then I knew there is a certain mentality which goes into, you know, doing bigger things or doing crazy things. No, so I knew that you guys are used to doing this and you support this. So of course, most cyclists are like that. But still, the craziest guys I know are people like you. And I have very strong belief also about the thought process behind Dr. Maxwell sir. So when he absolutely believes and he doesn't question it. In fact, there is a very interesting phase which happened during the Everesting itself, which would reinforce what I am telling. I think I had reached about 4,500 meters climbing. I was taking a break. Maxwell sir came towards me and he somehow picked up that right moment. You know? I was in the midst of so many things doing, you know, eating this, eating that, getting a massage and all those things. He found one moment to come close to me and told, Gokul, you are doing great. In this way, rate, you are going to be finishing even faster than what you had planned. And he told it with such conviction that of course, I was also very confident at that point because fatigue had not really set in at that time. But still, you know, it was a real booster. And at the same time, there was another friend of mine who was telling me, so Gokul, now you need to be a little cautious. He didn't say cautious, but he was like saying, this is the phase which is going to be tough. He was a more traditional cyclist. So you are telling that since you have not done more than 4,000 meters in a day, this is when things are going to get going to get tougher. So you need to pace yourself better. So that tells you, no? Now I both are important. Both we know, but sometimes you need to get the different messages at different points in time. No? So at that particular time when I was starting to think, I needed that complete conviction, no? Illogical conviction that you can go ahead and do it. I think that is the reason why I spoke to, because I know the way Pasha also thinks. No? He is always very positive, and Pasha and Maxwell Sir and the whole academy, they thrive in that state of mind. So I think that was the reason why I spoke to you. And I also remember that by the time it was like, no, it was like a secret which was inside me, which was I was let loose. So and it was a big relief. And I don't know whether you really thought I was crazy or whether it was doable or not, but you really made me feel it was doable. So I was very
I also kept on saying ye dono pagal log hai. I mean, on the day of the event as well, I was talking to a couple of guys. I was telling that ye log pagal hai. That was the only thing I was I had in my mind. I mean, really crazy stuff. Yeah.
So midway through the ride, you had both a morale booster as well as a reality check at the same time.
Correct. And you won't believe, it was as if an act of God. This happened within a span of 2 minutes, and both did not, as far as I know, both did not hear each other. And I think they told unconsciously about the other person, and both are very good friends. Of course, the other person who told is also a very close friend and who's got my interest in place. But I'm sure that was also required, because to be honest, I did start off too fast. I later Sampat told me that Chitti was abusing me when I was not around because I started too fast. So I did, that message was also required. But again, it was really stunning to hear both these things within a span of 2 minutes in two corners on the road. So
so I guess this is a question for all three. I mean, Pasha being a crew chief, and you and Chitti being the actual people doing it, how confident were you on the day of the ride, a week before the ride?
I think probably Pasha or Chitti can start first. I will tell my opinion at the end, because mine is very different from others.
Actually, I believe in me a lot. I trust, it is not on our confidence, but even while working also, there will be a lot of difficulties in the workshop. That's an example, just a small example, like example. So there will be a lot of difficulties, even the when the shifter doesn't work, or in the bicycle, some part, some component, it got stuck, and because of that, the rider is not able to enjoy the ride and all. There will be a lot of difficulties. So that through that, actually, I got a lot of confidence. And though that is a type of difficulty, but this is just a physical thing. Mentally thing, if I can handle it easily, so it's physical. So I thought I will complete, I have a lot of confidence in me, and though I always used to pray to Jesus, give me more confidence that whatever I do, so that I don't give up in the middle, so like that, in the event day also, I woke up in the 4 a.m. and I started praying to God that, so please God, give me strength and give me that confidence so that we both ride properly without any accident like that. But I was confident, Krishna.
Okay. Pasha?
With regards to confidence, I think from the day one, since Gokul called me, I had full confidence on Gokul, and even I was very excited and full on with energy that whatever it takes, I'm going to support him. And then I was also 100% confident that he can literally finish the Everesting. At the same time, when I also heard that Chitti is joining Gokul, I thought this is a crazy combination. Now it's going to be at a very next level, because at one hand, Gokul is somebody who has been training consistently, and also his passion for hills, climbing, will definitely take him there. I mean, whatever he wants to achieve. At the other hand, Chitti is somebody whom I know from a couple of years when we were training in road. So I know him. He's mentally strong guy, but I was little worried about his training, because he was not really training that much for this thing. And also the time frame when these guys decided to do it on a particular day. And I thought whether Chitti will be able to pull it or not. That is number one. Number two, about the preparation. I was also reading about a lot of the long distance riding events. How do the crew supports? Because this was also a kind of a challenge for me. I've never supported, and I've been an in charge for such long event. So I was also reading and trying to watch a couple of videos, vlogs and all. So I got a fair idea how do we support, how to take things under control. And I'm also a kind of person who likes to take up challenges like these. And it's part of my, let's say, a training schedule or a part of my life. I have been doing this and I have been dealing with these things. But this thing was very new to me in terms of subject-wise technicalities involved. And definitely, I had full confidence on the riders. But also at the same time, I need to have confidence in me so that I can show I am confident that you can do it. So it should not reflect that I am 80% confident and the rider looks at me, I have a dull face or I have a worried face. It kind of spoils the environment. So I need to be 101% confident to make them feel more confident to achieve. So that was the kind of confidence levels I had throughout they finished the event. Yes.
So I guess the baton passes on to me. I was very different from these two guys. That's why I didn't want to start off. The great thing about or the good thing that happened was my confidence grew over a period. So the day of the event, I was 100% confident. My confidence grew very, very gradually as I went through the process. And because I'm a typical logical thinking guy. So I was very much aware of the 100 odd things that could go wrong. So from that point of view, I was very, very skeptical, I would say, initially. But and I was also aware of this, and that is why I surrounded myself with people like these guys. So because I knew while I would take care of preparation because I'm skeptical, I also needed that blind confidence and positivity, so which I would get from these guys. Things gradually grew. But when I arrived on that day at that place, I had absolutely no doubts in my mind that I finished. Not only me, Chitti also. Again, with regards to Chitti, initially when he said that he's going to do it, I was not even taking it seriously. I thought he's kidding me, because first of all, I didn't even think that he fully understood what it was, because when you the first few times, nobody will understand. Even I did not understand what it was when I just read it for the first time. However, within a few minutes, I realized he was very serious. And he was showing that every day limited time that he had, which is spreads across so many things that he does. He was very committed to putting in the effort, and he was also seeing where he needs to improve, and he was taking care of everything that he could within his limitations within that period of time. So my confidence in Chitty also improved a lot. And then I don't know whether Chitty knows this or not, I had a chat with Sampat, and Sampat was like, Chitty will easily do it. His point of view was a few years ago, these guys had gone to Srisailam as part of the Festive 500 Strava challenge. And I believe there was a day when he rode the entire day with his butt bleeding because of chafing. And his pain tolerance is beyond off limits. So Sampath was like, Chitty's mental strength is too good, and he will never give up. So now when he said that, again being the logical guy, I was a little bit scared that because I know this well about Chitty, that he will do it, but he will suffer later. So I was very scared that he will push himself too hard and he should not get injured. I mean, completing it is one thing, but I would rather have us not complete rather than complete with some long-term injuries. So I was very wary of that. And whatever we could to prepare, we prepared, and I was always keeping that in the back of the mind. I think I really tortured Pasha during the ride because Pasha would not tell the data of each other. So I would keep on pestering him with regards to how Chitty was doing. I think Pasha was doing that to prevent any sense of doubt coming into us. He was preventing us from knowing if someone else was suffering and so on. So, but I was very wary of the fact because I didn't want him to complete by developing some injury or something like that. I both in myself and in Chitty, our confidence grew up a lot. And by the day we arrived there, I was very confident, and I didn't have a single iota of doubt that we'll do.
So once you've committed, and especially now that you have a cause associated with it, that creates pressure.
Yes.
Right? How did you deal with all of it? I mean, not just that, now you also have to worry about Chitty. As much as Chitty is not your responsibility, he's committed to doing with you. So he's also, in a way, you need to be worried about.
Correct.
And the rest, I don't think too much of your concern, because they'll support you, they'll be there for you. But dealing with the pressure of working for a cause, as well as having somebody you think you're responsible for. Mm. As much as he's independent on his own, you still think of him more. And I'm sure you thought most of the ride about how Chitty is performing.
Correct. So with regards to the pressure, I think the second part I've already answered. I was just having my screening, so to say, to ensure that doesn't happen. And I did not tell anybody about this, that I was concerned about Chitty developing an injury. Not even to Sampath, Chitty, Pasha, nobody at all. Because I didn't want to, I am a skeptical guy. These guys are all positive. Why should I, spread that negativity or skepticism amongst the group? So I did not tell that, but I was keeping that. I thought that I am the goalkeeper for that aspect. And of course, I had enough support who knew this and they were taking care of it. People like Krish, who was ensuring that he was getting stretched at the right time. And we had another colleague of us, Hikmat, who came all the way just for giving us stretching and massaging. So coming to the other part that you asked about how I handled the pressure, right? So there were some parts, like my father was going crazy and he was spreading this word to all his contacts. And I think in terms of the number of contributors that somebody had got, I think he was amongst the highest. So, and I used to get messages from his friends, you know, make your father proud and all. I was like, oh my God. So of course, I knew that I can do what is within my limits. So one of the things that I told you earlier was I knew that there were quite a few things that can go wrong. So again, taking a logical approach, what I did was I identified those aspects which could go wrong and I did whatever was in my control to prevent them from going wrong. So for example, I don't like riding in the night, but we decided riding in the night was the best option. So I chose a full moon day, which was full moon night rather, which gave us the brightest ambient light. I got a new clear lens, which increased my visibility. I arranged, you guys arranged backup scooters and cars if you needed more light. So like that, I picked up a few things which could go wrong and ensured, and we had a massive support system. I think I have not, in a long time, I have not seen so much of the cycling community come for an event. It was like one of those old-time breves. Thankfully, because of the corona thing, people did not crowd and they spread across the whole PAD. There were friends who were coming in at 2 a.m. in the morning and seeing us and stuff like that, encouraging us. So yeah, I just identified the places where we could go wrong and I occupied my mind with ensuring that whatever was within my limits, I did that.
Okay. So the next, there are two different things that I think we need to cover here. One is preparation from Asha for the support system, okay? And then there's preparation, planning, training, and all of it from UNGP. So Asha, why don't you take on the first part where what was your plan for the support system to build out the whole support system?
In terms of crew preparation from the day one, I was actually, in fact, Gokul also mentioned me, to coordinate. In fact, I would like to say that it was not my own, just my own preparation. I think it was us. So you were also part of it, Krishna. So it went on like, I had to virtually ride. To be very honest, I have been organizing these races throughout the year, but I know that this coordination is completely different than the race coordinations what I do usually. So I had to actually in my mind virtually analyze and visualize actually the Everesting, like what could go on at after 10 laps, what could go on in the midnight, what could go on early in the morning. So there were a lot of visualizations which I was doing for days to note down everything. These are the list of items required. These many people are required. Vehicles, support system in terms of power, water, toilets, washrooms. I mean, lot of things started coming up and I was going mad. I mean, I could really visualize as much as Gokul would have actually visualized his Everesting. At the same time, on the other end, I was, as part of the support crew, I had to visualize everything and write down. And after that, I came up with a plan of action that we need these many people for throughout the day, throughout they complete the event. And everything was, since it was COVID time, we wanted to avoid, that was number one priority, was to avoid the gathering over there. And luckily the course which Gokul chose had enough parking area and the roads were wide. I mean, it had at least a parking area for 5 to 6 cars at a time. And then we had a place to camp and put out the supplies. So I did a recce with the Gokul. I did a recce in the evening just to analyze about the lighting, visibility, and what best can be done to ensure everything is available there with the minimum resources, whatever it is. So, and then I came back to my office, and then I was still writing down, noting down all the points, key points. And then I had the blueprint. I mean, blueprint ready was, it was ready by within 48 hours after that. And then we had, I think, Krishna, you remember, we had the final video conferencing with all the volunteers who came up to support. And then we divided them in the shift basis to ensure everybody gets rest. Nobody stays more than 3 to 4 hours, so that you know, the 3 to 4 hours are always the quality work is done there. That was my own, my main concern, because I see that, you know, more than 3 to 4 hours, people get bored because things are moving at a very gradual and a consistent pace. And in the night especially, I don't want people to get bored, and then the quality of the volunteering goes off the track. So you just come, show up for 3 hours, do the best 100%, and then you can leave. So that was the actual plan, and that worked just perfectly, 110%. And these were the basic and the most important planning I was doing. Thank you to Krishna as well. He gave me a couple of key points which helped me to execute this at a very success rate, because you had the prior experience of supporting Sesi for his endeavor. So yeah, I mean, it was a team job. I don't take credit, complete credit. Every volunteer made this thing success.
Hey, except for Superman, because you never slept. As just like the riders, you never slept the whole through the whole thing.
To be honest, I didn't, because I had to be there. I had to be there every lap they were taking. They might need plain water, they might need electrolytes. I mean, Chitty might need anything. So I should be there all the time. So, and I didn't get sleep, to be very honest. I can't sleep. And because these guys were out there and riding, how can I sleep?
No, actually, Krishna and Gokul. So in the midnight, right? As soon as we like fell in dark night. So I was like in every lab, generally we looking for the crew guys. I mean, they are actually in our left side, like when we climb the BNR Hills.
Uh-huh.
So especially I was looking for Pasha. He is there or not. So whenever I see him, chalo, come on, push it. Yeah, and I kept in mind everyone, like whoever like volunteer over there, Pasha, Sambar, this Heyman, these all guys, just I was looking who all is there, who all slept now, who is helping to us. I should ask bottle. Like when I go up, I am just started thinking to whom I ask the bottle, to whom I ask that Unived glucose water. So as soon as I come down, sometimes I see Pasha, and sometimes he will be like behind that tree.
Behind the tree.
Give us your preparation. I think you might need to expand on that, because I know people have asked me what your preparation was, and I'm like, I have no clue. Okay.
So, in fact, I will put it in the show notes. I will the link to the blog that I created, wherein I have explained the various areas in which I prepared for. So, however, I will mention some of the key points here as well. The preparation has to be very extensive, very different here. For example, we even have to decide the course we have to. So in terms of the areas of preparation, it starts with route identification. You have equipment, you have nutrition, you have your training, obviously, you have the crew. So these were the biggest areas of preparation. So with regards to the route identification, I recorded many routes, and I had my own set of criteria and stuff like that to see which was the most comfortable. So just as a tips for people who are attempting this in the future, the fastest approach is usually to pick up a hill which is probably around 1.62 kilometers and say about 6 to 7% gradient. That I think will give you the fastest time. Now, if you pick up a hill, like say a long hill, like a Ooty or something like that, which is say 20, 25 kilometers long and which gives you about 1,000 meters of elevation, the problem is the logistics is extremely tough. That would necessitate a vehicle following you, at all times, because it becomes a moving crew. Thankfully, we didn't, because if you have less than 1.5-2 kilometers, you don't need all those things, because the base camp can be set up and nobody really needs to track behind you for any other thing. So, and also the safety of the area, especially if you are going to do it in the night, because hills means ghats means animals. And there would be animals which will come out in the night, and you need to be careful of that, and you need to recay in the night as well. So all these facts I considered, but I gave lesser priority from the point of view of the speed at which to finish, but rather more to safety and the other aspects. I would have loved to do it at a place like Ooty, but obviously given the corona situation and the support system, that I cannot transport 30 people to Ooty. So that was ruled out, and those kind of things is what I looked at. Then the training, in fact, was the easiest part, right? Because all said and done, like what these two guys told in the past, my training, when I was answering this question to another friend of mine, and I was trying to see when I start, his simple question was, when did he start training? And when I was in the process of answering that, I realized that I don't know when I stopped training in the last 1.5 years. I've been continuously training for some event or the other, with some gradual breaks between events, before you restart another block kind of thing. But I have not... I don't know when was a period when I did not train in the more than 1.5 years ago. So it is definitely more than 1.5 years ago. So it's been a period of training which I've been doing for a long period. But the focus of the training, like you said, I'm not somebody who's done much breves and stuff like that. I have done crazy breves only. I have done a couple of 200s, one in a fixie and one on a folding bike. And the biggest ride I did was a 300 breve on a folding bike. So I'm not a, and these were all more than 3-4 years ago. So the focus of training changed. I focused on climbing, obviously. I did a lot of recce. I worked on losing weight. That was more of a diet thing, because anyways, the long rides were taking care of kickstarting calorie deficit for the week, and the regular rides were continuing that, but the biggest things were eating clean. I do eat a lot of sweets, so I had to just cut that down. So that was the main thing with regards to training. Equipment, I was very lucky to have Sampath, who Pasha and Chitti was very confident, and who had told that he himself said, I will be there throughout the time you are there, you are riding, and it is my responsibility to take care that your equipment is in place. So, and in fact, he did that. I hardly bothered about my equipment. I'm lucky because I run a store, but still, not every store will have a person like Sampath. So I'm very lucky to have him. He took care of my equipment fully. The only thing that we needed was, I was running a much bigger crank. I was running 5339. So we had to change it to a 50-34 regular compact. So and that was a little tricky because we were not sure when we remove the press fit bottom bracket bearings whether it will work again, because press fit BBs are very crazy. So they suddenly start making sounds. So that had to be done very carefully. That was in fact done by Chitti. But Sampath took the ownership, and Sampath and Chitti did it together. So, and I also, because I run a store, I had the luxury of a completely spare bike as well, and on which I had done a recce as well. So I did a 2000 meter, 2500 meter climb on my spare bike as well, just 2 weeks before the event. So that was with regards to equipment. And basically I had a full carbon bike, the Chapter 2 Terre, which is top of the line race bike, race frame. And I had a fantastic group set, SRAM Red E-Tap, and I also had carbon wheels. Then with regards to nutrition was another big deal, because I am very lax in that even while riding. Thankfully, because of all the mistakes I had done in the past, I was at least aware. And this time many times it's very difficult for a coach to coach himself. And while I did not approach anyone else for my coaching plan, but I realized that the limited knowledge, and I knew all the basics of nutrition because we go through that as part of the coaching training, but still I realized that this is my weakness and I wanted some additional help. So I approached Gautam Pothineni for two reasons. He is a certified nutritionist and he's an ultra runner. Of course, he's a very, very close friend. So, and he analyzed my rides and came up with an absolute nutrition plan. So that took care of it, and I had tried all the things that we had a purpose when we are looking out for a nutrition, and we tried a couple of products for each fulfillment requirement. We tried various flavors, we tried various products, and everything was done in the case. So that took care of the nutrition part, and crew is also a very, very important part. And I think the main difference for this attempt was the crew. So I was very lucky to have you guys in my crew, and you guys took care of it thoroughly. So in terms of, I'm sure a lot of people, the questions that they were asked was with regards to specific training rides that I did. See, this is a mental challenge. You need to, at the end of the day, ask yourself where your doubts are coming from. So for me, my fear was in the longevity or the duration of the event. So to counter that, I ensured that I was doing minimum of 2500 meter single ride climb every week. So, and that was giving me confidence. So the longest I did was 3500, and I wanted to do a half Everest. Because even if you just go and look at the Everesting guidelines and training tips, one of the things they say is do at least a 50-60% of the climb. Unfortunately, the day we had scheduled that, after I had done about 2000 meters, there was torrential rain and we just could not even stand on the road. So I had to abandon it. So, and I did not have enough time to complete it, because it was already, that was my last and highest ride, and I just did not have enough timeline to do it again, repeat it next week, and I didn't want to tire myself out. So I had done a 3500 meter climb, but the 4500 meter climb I had to abandon because of the weather conditions. But still I was, that did leave a few questions open, but I knew that I don't control everything. So I did whatever I could. So I just had to stay with it and live with that. In addition to this, I did a lot of threshold rides, and threshold is like, you know, wherein you are looking at keeping your power levels close to your FTP for long periods of time, you know, maybe 10 minutes. And I was doing a lot of VOT efforts wherein you do around 120% of your threshold power for 3-4 minutes. So these were the key things I was doing. And this was with regards to my training. And I also did one ride, one recce with Chitty. And Chitty was smart enough to figure out that because of the lesser time that he had on the saddle, his cadence was lower than usual and my cadence was higher than usual. So he came up to me and he wanted a schedule to work on his cadence. So the primary thing that we worked on for Chitty was cadence, in addition to being trying to lose a few kgs. So, and of course, getting the miles. So, yeah. Is there anything else you are specifically looking at?
No, I think that summarizes what most of the questions I heard about are. Hopefully, this will help a few people decide if they want to do a crazy thing like this.
That was the conclusion of the first part, wherein we talked about the planning for the Everesting. In the second and conclusive part, we will discuss about what really happened on the day of Everesting and how we faced the situations which were not planned for. See you on the other side.